And the land is dark, and the moon is the only light we'll see. No, I won't be afraid. Oh, I won't be afraid. Just as long as you stand by me. So darling, darling, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Oh, stand.
A beautiful song. And do you know that song, Chef John Ash?
Yeah, I did.
Benny King,
yeah.
Wonderful Stand By Me, beautiful tune. And the reason I thought I would play that is because in her new book called Uma, A Korean Mom's Kitchen Wisdom, Sarah Ahn writes that it's one of her dad's favorite songs. And I thought,
yeah,
in the way of welcoming her to the Good Food Hour, I would play that. Good morning, that's Sarah.
Right. Hi, nice to meet you guys.
Oh, it's nice to meet you too. Nice to have you here. And I know you recognize that song since it seemed like it was one of your dad's favorites.
That was so thoughtful of you guys. Thank you guys so much.
Well, it was thoughtful of you to write this magnificent book. It's called Uma, which is Korean for mom or mother, A Korean Mom's Kitchen Wisdom with 100 Family Recipes, a beautiful cover of you and your mom sharing food. And it was published by America's Test Kitchen, and I understand they're your employer.
Yes, they're my employer and also my publisher. Two separate projects, unrelated to each other, but I guess related in the fact that I happen to work there.
It's very beautiful and satisfying to see a cookbook like this that's just filled with so much love and inspiration, and that you've carried on the lineage of your mom and your grandparents' cooking style and done this deep dive into Korean cooking. Because I have to say, although I love going out to Korean restaurants, it's, for me, as a non-chef, kind of a mystery. Now, you, John, being a chef, know this cuisine pretty well.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of like you. I really enjoy going to Korean restaurants and have enjoyed many Korean meals, but I confess I don't know all that much about it. So this was really revolutionary for me.
Your mom came from Korea in when, the 1990s, Sarah?
Yes, that's correct.
And does your mom speak any English at this point?
She speaks very little English, but Korean is her most fluent language that she speaks and writes in.
I can't imagine the challenges of transferring all of these. They're not written recipes, are they? These are oral recipes that you had to extract from your mom and somehow make into a cookbook?
Yeah, so I had to train my mom how to use measuring spoons because Korea, and like many other countries, because only one in three countries uses volume measurements, one of them being America. Uh-huh. I had to teach her how to use measuring spoons and kind of get over that challenge to get to this point. But that's also why our book also includes grams, because it's just how Koreans measure out their ingredients if they do so. So it was a work in progress, especially my mom's generation. They don't really measure their ingredients. It's all just made by the handful and spoonful. So it was a challenge to get over with.
So one of the things you included were your Korean mom's kitchen wisdoms all the way through, which you gave really helpful hints about how to deal with ingredients and do all of that kind of stuff. What one thing that was there at the very beginning of the book, which I didn't know, was the frying of garlic, or the freezing of garlic.
Yeah.
That you can do that. I didn't realize you could do that.
Yeah, that's something that a lot of Koreans do. In fact, I feel like every Korean household I know that looks like me and my mom do that. Because garlic is such a prevalent ingredient in Korean cuisine, we use so much of it. We always like to prep it beforehand, where we rinse it, mince it, and then freeze it. And in the book, we freeze it by making little squares with a bench scraper. But in reality, we actually put it in a Ziploc bag. We don't square it off because we use that much garlic in 1 week, a whole Ziploc bag full of it. And so it's just a great tip to have and very common in Korean cuisine, but we learned that in other cuisines, this is the first time that they're seeing it.
Well, it's a cool idea. I'm gonna do it because, you know, kind of peeling and dealing with garlic and all of that stuff is, if I knew it was already there, I'd probably use more myself.
Your mom owned a restaurant, is that correct, when she arrived from Korea here in the States?
Yes, she did own a restaurant, not immediately when she arrived, but when I was in middle school. And we had it for a little over a decade. And it was, I'm sure you guys may already know, you know, running a restaurant is a lot of work. So it was a labor of love that admittedly broke apart our family, but also provided a roof over our heads for quite some time.
But your dad was not part of the restaurant, was he?
Not really, but it did give him a break. I mean, he did support the restaurant where he went to our restaurant every day to work there. But my mom was the primary breadwinner in terms of running the restaurant. They opened the restaurant because my dad paints for a living, and they wanted to see if they can give him a break from that and kind of wanted to see if they could try something else where in Korea it's kind of stigmatized to have a job that works outside. And so they wanted to do something that their kids could feel proud of and something that could give my dad a break from painting. So that's why they started the restaurant.
I learned so many fascinating tips and ideas in this book, but I was shocked to read about the chopsticks, the metal chopsticks in Korea. Is that one of the only places where metal chopsticks are used in the world?
The flat metal chopsticks, yes. So the chopsticks in Korea, it's quite fascinating, along with a spoon, where we have flat metal chopsticks, but we also eat with wooden chopsticks. I personally prefer the wooden ones. They're less slippery. And then the Korean spoon is also a bit long. And the reason why they're long is so that you can reach the rice and the banchan, the side dishes, conveniently.
So would you describe the banchan? It's one of the reasons I go to Korean restaurants. What is that?
Yeah, so banchan is a small Korean side dish. It could really comprise of anything where you're eating protein, vegetables, a variety of greens, fermented foods, whatever it may be, a small amount of any food is considered a banchan. Have you guys tried LA Kalbi?
No, I haven't, John.
I don't know. I don't read the language so well. So
LA short ribs, and even that, even though it's considered a protein dish, if you snip it up into small pieces and put it on a small plate, that's arguably a banchan. And kimchi itself, if you put it on a small plate, that's technically considered a banchan, but because kimchi is such a big staple, it kind of has its own category. But banchan is something that makes up the majority of the Korean table. I think it's fascinating and beautiful, where there's an array of different colors that you present to someone. And when someone comes over, like special guests, sometimes those banchan will be in the double digits on the table. And it's a way we welcome someone to our home and to say, hello, you're welcome to our home, and we made you all this food. Welcome.
Well, you mentioned the L.A. Galbi, and that's the barbecue short ribs, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, and I knew that was in the meat and poultry and seafood section, but it also can be part of banchan.
Yeah, arguably, and this is something my mom and I had to go back and forth on. It's just like, where does this recipe go? Because if you snip up any protein into small pieces and put it on a small plate, that's technically considered a banchan to us.
Good.
Well, it's one of the reasons I love going to a Korean restaurant, because you're sitting there waiting for the main courses to come, and you get a bunch of little plates of all kinds of things that with different seasonings and flavorings that are going on.
Yeah. And what I learned, too, with that banchan is just so fascinating. Everything that's on that table is very deliberately there and thoughtfully put together. There's always going to be some protein type of banchan, maybe like an egg dish. There's also a fermented type of banchan and maybe something that is a fresh vegetable. But the way that it's placed, I found it so beautiful, and I learned this through my mom in Korean cooking. They'll never place like a red banchan next to a red banchan. They'll place like a red banchan and the green banchan and the brown banchan. And so it's like an art being made on the table where the food meets the eye in a very presentation-worthy way that welcomes someone to their home.
So tell me about H Mart. I know about it only because I have kids who live in Southern California, in Irvine, and there are a couple of H Marts there, but it's like the Costco. I don't know what it is. It's
Costco of Korean food.
And when you go in there, there's everything.
Yeah, that's actually funny because I was just in Irvine last night, and I'm native. I'm where your kids are, as you mentioned, your kids, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in SoCal. I'm in the same Orange County as them. And I was just in Irvine last night for the book tour. So H Mart is the biggest Korean grocery store in America, with locations primarily all throughout East and West Coast, as well as a few in the South. And they also ship to your home, which is great. But fun fact, my family, we primarily don't shop at H Mart. People who look like my mom, we tend to shop at places that carry a bit more artisan ingredients. And those places, if you live in a very Korean-populated city, such as Irvine, Buena Park, places like New Jersey, New York and whatnot, there's stores called like Hanam Chain and Zion Market. And those places, you can find people who look like my mom and very high-quality artisan ingredients. And just that's where we go.
And if you're in the Bay Area, of course, you can go to the H Mart down on Alamany Boulevard, which is the one I've gone to several times. And it's great. It's mind-blowing and overwhelming. The next chapter is kimchi and pickles. You mentioned that there are over 200 varieties of kimchi in this chapter. It is astounding. And there's winter and summer kimchi, and you could just spend a lifetime immersing yourself in kimchi.
Right. Yeah, kimchi is our identity. It's our pride. It's a staple of our cuisine. And you can also technically pickle and kimchi anything, including watermelon rind.
And so what was the idea of kimchi, the history of kimchi? I mean, it was a pickle, but it was for digestion or?
No. So, it's funny because the way kimchi is marketed, especially in American markets, which I really don't agree with this because that's not why we eat it. They always say kimchi is full of probiotics and you'll see it on the front.
Yeah.
Package. And it's just like, that's just not how Koreans market our kimchi because we never really put that on our containers. If you go to the Korean market and buy from a real, genuine Korean kimchi brand, kimchi is a beloved ingredient that I can't really encapsulate in words, but it is the fermented food that Koreans ate when Korea was once an impoverished country, barely had any sustainable food that lasted them through harsh winter months, but kimchi did. It's the food that they all made together, the women, the act of collectively making kimchi is known as kimjang, where they would make this kimjang kimchi, the women, and it would last them for many months for their families to eat. And so it's something that is deeply ingrained in our history that we will always appreciate, but it's also just damn good. And so that's why we eat it. We don't eat it for probiotics reason. We just eat it because it's part of our identity, our history, and our taste buds.
Flavor comes first. We'll take a quick break. We're talking with Sarah Ahn. Her and her mom, Nam Soon Ahn, have just written this beautiful Korean cookbook called Uma.
And the photography is beautiful.
Oh, the photography is stunning.
It really helps to have pictures of the ingredients and all that stuff. So, that's what I'm
And the techniques
for.
Of the hand and how your mom fabricates all the beautiful food. It's a Korean mom's kitchen wisdom. Plus 100 family recipes. And I understand you're going to be at Omnivore in San Francisco next week. Is that right, Sarah?
I am, and I'm super excited.
It's a great place. Are you going to be serving food?
Omnivore, I don't think we are serving food, but we will be giving a great talk where it will be emotionally fun. We'll be crying together, taking pictures, and laughing together.
Okay.
Back after this with more great Korean ideas.
Got a drain that's clogged up? Or maybe a toilet? Or a faucet that just won't quit leaking? This is Austin, founder of More Home Services, and I want you to know that it does make a difference which plumber you call. At More Home Services, we respect your time by showing up when we say we'll be there. Our technicians are all background checked and drug tested and will greet you with a smile. They're trained to do the job right the first time, and they carry over 1,000 parts on their trucks, so they won't have to order something and then come back later. They leave the work area cleaner than they found it, and your final bill will be the same as what they quoted. No surprises. So, if you need a plumber, it does make a difference who you call. Call Moore Home Services. Our number is 707-505-8000 or find us online at moorehomeservices.com.
We do more to treat you right. Moore Home Services.
The Sonoma County Legal Line. Get answers to your legal questions on a wide variety of issues. Real answers from Satare Law, a personal injury law firm powerhouse.
I was involved in a car accident sustaining injuries. I was not at fault. Should I hire a personal injury attorney?
Personal injuries can be emotionally and financially devastating. Daniel Satare is an attorney who specializes in personal injury law with extensive experience in auto, bicycle, and motorcycle accidents, wrongful death, and more.
My partner suffered spinal injuries in a car accident. And we don't have health insurance. Can we get the other insurance company to pay for upcoming treatments and lost wages?
Daniel Satare and his team will guide you through the challenging issues of a personal injury case, always protecting your legal rights. Get answers to your legal questions on a variety of issues. Real answers from law offices like Satare Law. Find out if you need a lawyer and make an informed decision. Go to KSRO.com now and click on the Sonoma County Legal Line.
Hey, Hoops fans. Looking for an exciting March Madness experience? Head over to Mountain Mike's Pizza. Catch all the slam dunks, buzzer beaters, and intense moments while savoring mouthwatering pizzas and a full bar at select locations.
Bring the March Madness excitement home with delicious takeout options, too. Whether you're cheering from the comfort of your living room or hosting a game day party, Mountain Mike's Pizza is your slam dunk choice for the perfect feast. Score big with flavor at Mountain Mike's Pizza. Visit mountainmikespizza.com.
It's tax season. By now, we're all a bit tired of numbers, but here's one you need to hear. $16.5 billion. That's how much money in refunds the IRS flagged for possible identity fraud last year. Now, here's a good number, 100 million. That's how many data points LifeLock monitors every second. If your identity's stolen, they'll fix it guaranteed. Save up to 40% in your first year with promo code CLAY. Visit LifeLock.com. That's LifeLock.com, promo code CLAY. Terms apply.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
In the KSRO kitchen, I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash, celebrating our 38th year, America's longest-running radio food show, and we're in conversation with Sarah Ahn. Her last name is spelled A-H-N. She's the creator of Honest Kitchen, and her mom is Nam Soon Ahn. They've written a cookbook called Umma, U-M-M-A, A Korean Mom's Kitchen Wisdom, with 100 family recipes. Thank you for including that great fried chicken recipe in the meat, poultry, and seafood recipe. We're big fans of Korean fried chicken. I guess everybody is. And is there any particular secret that you can reveal to us about how your mom makes this fried chicken?
Yes, so this Korean fried chicken was researched heavily, and this is one of my favorite recipes in the book. I'm personally not a big fan of fried foods, but when I tried this recipe, I ate probably 2 bucketfuls of it. Just because it's so delicious and so, like, it's so fresh and crispy, but not heavy yet fried.
So,
and I would say,
Go ahead.
Yeah, I would say her secret is kind of the good old secret where we soak the chicken in milk that tenderizes the chicken and gets rid of this gamey taste. Now, I know chicken isn't gamey, but in Korean culture and cuisine, we often can smell this scent that comes with beef, fish, and chicken. And it's something that we want to get rid of because we don't want that scent to linger onto the food. So we soak it in milk for a bit. And this is something that many Korean chefs do and something that we stand by. And then once we rinse it and once we soak it in the milk, we will rinse the chicken. Because yes, we do rinse the chicken. And I think that really makes the biggest difference in making a very tender chicken that then gets coated in a dry and wet batter that has a little pinch of curry powder.
Sarah, can I just ask you a quick question? In 2023, what was the most Googled recipe in the world?
It was the good old bibimbap, which is mixed rice.
The bibimbap, the famous Korean dish.
And what it, can you describe that? Or it's a combination of things for sure.
Right. So bibimbap is it's a rice dish where you have a bed of rice with a layer of beautiful vegetables on top that's been seasoned individually with a lot of love and care. And it's beautifully presented to who's ever eating it in a way that is so delicious looking, but also beautiful, where the colors and the matchsticks of each vegetable is intentionally there and present.
The last chapter is Midnight Snacks and Desserts. And I don't know about you, John, and you're a grilled cheese master, John, but yeah. Have you ever done a kimchi and grilled cheese sandwich? That's one of the recipes.
I saw that. I thought, no, I haven't, but I'm gonna. It sounds great.
With a layer of green onions.
Yeah.
Did you eat those as a kid, Sarah?
I didn't. Okay, so what inspired that recipe is that we would always buy mac and cheese from Costco to celebrate Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Because we don't make American cuisine. Our Korean cuisine is our primary expertise in what we eat. And we would never be able to finish the mac and cheese. And so in order to finish it after Thanksgiving, we would always eat it with kimchi. And that's what inspired the creation of this kimchi grilled cheese, where we combine those cheesy elements of American cuisine with kimchi.
Well, and in that chapter, the last chapter, you also revealed that your all-time favorite snack is...
My all-time favorite snack. Well, I have a lot. Which one is it? What did I mention in the book?
Fried seaweed rolls.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. When it comes to fried foods, that's another favorite.
I'm down
well,
for it.
There are a lot of things I'm going to try, like pickled garlic. You do this thing with and describe how growing up people would they would be able to identify you because of the garlic smell. But it's so simple to do. And I thought, that sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah, so my mom has this pickled with garlic recipe in our book. And it actually, we still have ours today, where it's, I think, 3 to 5 years old. There's this
beautiful... You're kidding.
Wow.
Yeah. And I've made videos. Her pickles last up to, I think we're going on to the fourth year with one of them. And they're still so good because... Her ratio of ingredients, which in this one, it's water, vinegar, soy sauce, and sugar. It keeps the garlic lasting for a very long time, where the sauce is fully penetrated through the middle of the garlic. And it just tastes so delicious that I can't help it but eat 5 to 6 cloves in one sitting. And then I end up smelling like garlic.
So if I'm going to do this, keep the garlic in the fridge?
Yes, you keep it in the fridge. And then just as long as you don't... you just have to make sure that every time you grab a tongful or spoonful of garlic, that spoon or utensil is sanitized and there's no impurities on it to the brine.
And one ingredient I'm dying to try, and that was when you're building a Korean pantry, is the seafood broth tablets.
Oh, yes. So that is a modern take on making anchovy broth. Traditionally, anchovy broth, you have to get the dried anchovies, you have to degut it, you have to behead it, put the anchovies in there, boil it with water. But Korean and modern technology have come up with a soup tablet that has all those ingredients, and they're packaged into a quarter-size coin. And you just pop that in boiling water, and then bam, you have anchovy broth. And that's something that we wanted to put in the book to make sure that we have modern takes on these recipes.
Sarah, this has just flown by this 25 minutes. The new book is UMMA, U-M-M-A, A Korean Mom's Kitchen Wisdom, 100 Family Recipes. It's a beautiful, magnificent book, just released on Tuesday, April 1st. And you're going to be at Omnivore Books in San Francisco next Saturday, correct? April 12th?
That is correct, Steve.
We encourage our listeners in the Bay Area to go by and check you out. Thanks so much, and continued success at Cooks Illustrated.
Thank you so much, Steve, and thank you, John, as well.
Yes, you're welcome.
Our pleasure.
And it's great that you're a proponent of spam.
Yes, good. Thank you.
Thanks again, Sarah. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Sarah on. Coming up next, we're moving from Korean food to the world of, believe it or not, empanadas. How about that?
Yeah. What are empanadas?
We'll find out in 3 minutes from now. It's the KS Ardo Good Food Hour with me, Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash.
Hi, it's Dennis from the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market at Luther Burbank Center. I'd like to talk a bit about our market. Sure, we have great coffee, crepes, salsa, sausage, fruits, veggies, crafts, and much, much more. But to me, it's what you can't buy that makes the market special, and that's the people. You may have heard me speak with Steve on Saturday mornings on Garden Talk about buying potatoes from Tom or mushrooms from Barbara, forgetting to mention their business names. This is due to the relationships developed with those who grow the food we eat, something you can't get at the big supermarket chains. The vendors are a great resource to help create the perfect meal for you and your family. Bring your kids, grab a bite and something to drink, and shop the farmers market voted the best farmers market in Sonoma County 2 years running in the Press Democrats Readers Poll. We've been doing this for 50 years. We must be doing something right. So come and visit us at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1.
Sonoma County's News Talk, KSRO, on FM at 103.5 in Santa Rosa and Windsor, and now at 96.9 in Petaluma.
Voted best in the North Bay by the Bohemian, Paradise Pet Resort is the top choice for your furry friend.
We really need a getaway. When was the last time we took a vacation? Just the two of us.
Right before we got Buckley.
I know, it's so tough to leave him behind. Who's gonna spoil him like we do?
No worries, you can take that vacation. At Paradise Pet Resorts, your pet gets the royal treatment while you're away. With webcams, you can check in and watch your furry friend's wagging tail and playful antics all day long. Your pet gets playtime, socializing, belly rubs, ear scratches, and more. Plus, daycare helps burn off that extra energy, so they'll be just as relaxed as you.
This is exactly what we needed. Let's check in on Buckley.
Those webcams are a lifesaver.
Book your pet stay today. Boarding, daycare, and grooming at Paradise Pet Resorts in Rohnert Park and Santa Rosa. Visit ParadisePetResorts.com.
Paradise Pet Resorts.
Mom Fireplace Center, proud sponsor of the Golden State Warriors for over 10 years. Mom Fireplace Center in Santa Rosa has manufactured their own freestanding wood-burning fireplaces since 1960. Find your flame at Mom Fireplace Center, 369 Yolanda Avenue. On the web at momfireplacecenter.com. Mom Fireplace Center, we satisfy your burning desires.
News anywhere. Stream KSRO from your smartphone or smart speaker. KSRO, Sonoma County's News Talk, FM, AM, and online.
A guaranteed career as an officer with the California Highway Patrol is waiting for you. You can make a difference and enjoy a starting salary of $122,500 plus comprehensive benefits. Apply today at chpmadeformore.com and become part of the strongest team in California.
I'm KSRO's Jeff Woodworth with Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast. Following a cooler and cloudy overnight, we can look to another day of this warming trend as sunny skies give us daytime highs in the mid-70s. Later this evening, generally clear skies should leave us with overnight lows in the mid to low 40s. Looking ahead, another warming trend is expected to begin around Tuesday with temps jumping back into the mid-70s. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 96.9 KSRO.
In the KS Ardo Kitchen, I'm Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash. Tuesday, April 8th is National Empanada Day. And we thought we've got to have some fresh-made empanadas in the studio today. And later in the show, we're going to give away a gift certificate so that you can enjoy the magic of Venoma classic Argentine empanadas here in Sonoma County. And with that, we welcome Chef Brian Collins to the studio. Good morning, Brian.
It's Corrigan, and thank you for having me.
What did I say?
You said Collins, but it's okay. You're probably thinking Tom Collins.
It was close.
It
started with a C, but yeah. I don't get any prize for that. Brian Corrigan, you and your wife own Venoma, the empanada, Argentine empanadas in Rohnert Park, in the most unlikely location imaginable.
Yeah, we opened about just 2 weeks before the pandemic. We looked for a while for different locations, and my son was actually not feeling well, so I ran into the gas station for some Gatorade and
in
the Shell station, which is adjacent to our restaurant. And I met the owner, who was actually working the counter, who's never been there since. And we ended up in that location. The roof didn't leak, and it had all most of the things I needed, and it was affordable. It gave us a chance to see if people in this area would get to know our food and the different types of empanadas we make. Some of the things we do, no one else does, so it's hard for people to know what they are until they have them.
It's a magical location. It's about 2 minutes off Highway 101 at the golf course drive exit off 101.
Yeah, it's super convenient. We kind of outgrew our little space a couple years ago, but our customers love the convenience of just hopping off the highway and grabbing our food. So as much as I love to be in our little town of Sebastopol where I live, a lot of people would be upset they had to drive another 20 minutes off the highway to come get our food.
So what is an empanada?
So it's anything covered with a flaky crust, really. It's a little handheld pie, if you will. Ours come in two different styles. We have your traditional empanada, which is dough wrapped with a filling inside. There's all different fillings. In Argentina, where these are based off of, my wife's Argentine, and that's where I first started having them, they have different folds that dictate the flavors on the inside. What we do at our restaurant is we have little letters that we stamp onto the crust of the dough. So when they bake off, you have a little letter there. You can figure out what's inside, and that way people don't get it confused. So
they're both sweet and savory.
Sweet and savory. So I think the one that you just bit into is the one I like right out of the oven, which is that plum and bacon, the one with the bacon on top. And the cool part of the canastitas, which is the open face empanada that you guys
say that again.
Canastita. It means little basket. The cool part of those is that it allows you to do different things that you can't do in a traditional empanada. So that bacon gets nice and crisp on the top. The pineapples in our Al Pastor empanada get caramelized, and they're beautiful to look at.
And there's some that look just like your traditional turnovers.
Right. So that's your classic empanada. The beauty of those is your recipes you can cook for a day if you want. They're made in advance, so the flavors really develop. And that's what makes a good empanada.
And I love the pleating. Do you do this by hand?
So we have machines that help us now with our traditional style empanadas. But for the first couple of years, they were all made by hand. The canastitas are still made by hand.
The open-faced
empanadas. Every one of those. My wife is amazing at folding, and I actually taught her to fold, even though she's Argentine. And now she... it's almost impossible when she looks at mine to hers. They're just absolutely beautiful.
You can tell who made which one.
You can tell everything.
So on this traditional empanada with the pleats, there's a little C here on the side. What does that C mean?
So the C is for creamy corn. It's based off a classic Argentine dish called humita, which is traditionally with squash and corn that's grated.
Sweet corn.
And it's one of my favorite dishes. My wife's mother makes it all the time, and this creamy corn empanada is based off one of her recipes. So I've been traveling back and forth from Argentina for 20 plus years. My daughter was born there, and a lot of these recipes are based off my favorite restaurants or relatives of my wife's or family members that showed me how to make them, and I hold them close to heart there.
Is this a traditional flavor in Argentina, the creamy corn?
The creamy corn is, this one in particular is probably my favorite, and for me, what I like to do is I love to go travel and come back and make things I've tasted in other places. The hardest part is the ingredients. The ingredients are all different. How do you develop the same flavors of something that the cheeses are all different, the spices are all different, and recreate that here in the States? So I see it when my mother-in-law comes here. She's trying to cook something for me, and she can't find her go-tos. And the same thing happens when I travel to Argentina.
There's a kiss of nutmeg in the corn.
Exactly. Yeah, so that you taste, but it shouldn't overpower it. It should just kind of guide you along your path. And
this is so I could
so what is this one?
That one is a spinach artichoke. So,
oh, it's fantastic.
So that was, you know, some of these flavors I've made over 15 years ago in my home. You know, the buffalo chicken empanada, which you guys will try later. Buffalo chicken was super popular back, you know, what, 15 years ago. It was on every menu, and I was like, this would be delicious in an empanada. Sure enough, it was. And I make it the same as the first time I made it. I went to make it the next day. It came out horrible, and I was like, what did I do that the other day? So all you chefs out there, write down what you do. It's the best way to make sure you have consistency with your food.
Did you know about empanadas when you were going to cooking school at Johnson & Wales in Providence, Rhode Island?
I didn't even know about Spanish. I mean, let's, like, I'm from the Northeast, you know. It's, you know, there's no diversity really where I grew up. I grew up on Cape Cod. It was a bunch of fishermen, you know. There was fried fish and lobster and clam bakes.
That's all good.
You know, which is great. What's strange is I actually worked at a French restaurant. That's how I started falling in love with food at a young age. I was 14 and had an opportunity to become a dishwasher and said, hey, let's do this. What I didn't realize is the two seatings and eight courses made for a lot of dishes.
Yeah.
But I loved it. We made all the mother sauces there, and you know, the whole walk-in fridge was stocks and demi-glaze and all these things that, you know, many years later, I'm still trying to recreate. Like, these were excellent.
Don't do that. You can buy them.
Yeah. Nah, you know.
Yeah.
How did you end up in Argentina?
So I tried to get out of the Northeast just because of the weather. It was cold and miserable in the winter. So I went to Miami, Florida, and that's where I met my wife. We ran into each other, and I went to her country for the first time back in, you know, 2002, I want to say. And once I went there, the people were amazing. Her family, just the most loving, beautiful culture, and the food was unreal. Everything's homemade. You walk down the street, there's a fresh French baguette, which is Argentine. It's not French, but you know, because everything there is Argentine. Once it's there, they have the best gelato, which is, you know, Argentine ice cream, and all the foods there are just, you know, mostly European influence, but just so good. You know, homemade stuff on every corner.
Did you know about chimichurri sauce before you went to Argentina?
Didn't know. No, I did. My wife makes fun of me. I didn't even have a passport. I think I had been to Mexico and Canada, which I thought was traveling. And she had traveled a lot. Her father was a pilot in Argentina. Oh. And so when I met her, you know, my world opened up. And I can never thank her enough. It changed my life to be able to to try all these foods that I love to recreate.
Well, now chimichurri, I mean, Trader Joe's, I even think, sells a chimichurri sauce. It's a sauce in Argentina and Uruguay and other places. You make a great chimichurri, John.
Yeah.
Oh, and I totally forgot to bring it. I left it on the counter, so you guys don't get to try mine.
We'll have to go down to Roner Park.
It was my plan all along. I figured I'd forget it. You guys will have to come back.
Do you sell chimichurri?
So we actually make a choripan sandwich. It's like one of the only things we do that isn't an empanada, and it's Argentine sausage on a French baguette with homemade chimichurri, and it is excellent. And people are catching on to that, you know, how great it is.
Now you say Argentine sausage. Do you make the sausage?
I don't. We get certain sausages made and they're imported, and we get those at the restaurant. I should start making it, though, because it would save me a lot. You know, everything's going up, and with the tariffs and everything.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Is that the one sandwich you sell on the menu?
It's the one sandwich we sell on the menu, yes. Mm-hmm. And it's super simple, but the amount of flavor in it and my chimichurri, I'm upset I don't have it because I know you guys would love it. It's awesome.
Did your wife teach you to make that?
So, ironically, my wife isn't the chef. I am the chef. But her mother is an amazing chef. And she won't say she's a chef. And I tell this to a lot of people because they say, oh, you're a chef. You know, you can do anything. And I feel like a lot of the greatest chefs out there are people at their homes who just absolutely love to cook. Mm-hmm. And her mom will take an entire cow and break it down right in front of you, and you'll have the best asado you've ever had in your life. And she's not a chef, so but yeah, I learned mostly from taste or from relatives. You know, salsa criolla, which is onions and peppers and tomatoes and vinegar and olive oil, all these basic ingredients, but it's just how you know, simple foods. Mm-hmm. It's like going to Italy. You don't know why things taste so great. Mm-hmm. You're like, it's only tomatoes and olive oil, but the two ingredients are amazing, you know?
Well, these are delicious.
They're really delicious. Yeah, yeah. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back with Brian. And guess what his last name isn't? He is the co-owner of Venoma, the classic Argentine empanadas, with his wife. Is it Maria?
It's Maria. In Argentina, they go by the second name, so it's her middle name is Lorena. So
Lorena. Maria Elena.
Lorena. L-O-R-E-N-A.
And where are you located in Rohnert Park?
So we're in between Amy's and In-N-Out. We've got all those fast food places surrounding us, but we're the only place making amazing homemade food. And just giving out way better quality and a huge variety of food.
And weren't you a gas station before?
So
before
well, still are.
It still is. The gas station's behind us, and we share a door. But ever since COVID, we've been all to go. So almost all of our business is scheduled orders online and events. But we still have tons of people who hear about us walk up, and we help them out. But there's a couple seats outside.
Oh, there are.
And it's just a different, we've turned into a totally different business, really, ever since COVID. And I had gone to Japan with my kids, and I used to think what we're doing is pretty offensive. People want to come in. They want to eat inside. We have no space. And when I went to Japan, you know, they have QR codes on all of their menus. Mm-hmm. They speak every language in the world, and the chefs bring the food to you and 4 minutes. Yeah. And there's, you know, hey, I don't speak Japanese perfectly. Well, guess what? The food's there.
You can point it,
you know. Yeah. So I think it's the future. You have so many restaurants that, I mean, I know we all love to sit down and be pampered, but there's so many restaurants that can't afford to pay their staff and stay afloat. Yeah. Well, we have technology and we have chefs, so.
That's great. Mm-hmm. So you can order online and then pick that up and have, if there's a seat available, great, or just take it home.
And do you deliver it?
Not yet.
Pardon me. Yeah, we do. We do deliver. Oh. And it changes. I didn't use the third-party delivery people for a while because my empanadas when we started were $32.99 a dozen.
Whoa.
And when now they're $45.10. Yeah. But when they were getting to people's house from $32.99 and only within the 5 miles they were willing to drive, if it was traffic this way, they weren't going. We're coming out to about $55.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So I said, no, my customers, you know, they'll come. If we were in a city, it would be great. If you're in Argentina, no one, you know, it's a Sunday, you have 20 people at your house, no one wants to cook. 10 minutes later, a guy shows up on a moped. Empanadas for everyone. You ordered your flavors, you ordered yours. No one gets what they wanted. Even though you ordered what you wanted. And that's part of the fun. Yeah. You know, someone's like, I did order that, but that one there looks amazing.
We're having an empanada party today with Venoma, and one lucky listener will win a gift certificate to Venoma right before the end of the show. I'm Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash in the KSRO kitchen.
Hola, chicas. ¿Estás lista para sentirte fabulosa? This is Karina Lozano, your surgical coordinator, here to take care of you at Dr. Tom Cosmetic Surgery. Our goal is to help you achieve the confidence you deserve. If you're thinking about a breast augmentation to enhance your curves or a cosmetic breast surgery to feel more comfortable in your skin, Dr. Tom es tu opción. Looking for something extra? Try Smart Lipo. Say goodbye to that stubborn fat and hola a una silueta increíble. Voted best cosmetic surgeon 9 years in a row at Dr. Tom Cosmetic Surgery, we're here for you. Porque te lo mereces. And all is done under local anesthetic. Quicker recovery and less downtime. Llámanos hoy y agenda tu consulta. Es hora de ser la mejor versión de ti misma.
Dr. Tom Cosmetic Surgery. Online at drtomcosmetic.com. That's drtomcosmetic.com.
Let's stay young together.
Citing factors including declining enrollment, rising operational costs, and a projected $24 million budget deficit, Sonoma State University plans to eliminate all sports programs, 23 majors, and more than 60 faculty, staff, and management positions. Students, faculty, parents, local business owners, and the community at large are deeply upset, and some are filing lawsuits.
Imagine a restaurant cutting out its entire menu to save money, but keeping its servers, its tables, and chairs. Well, that's Sonoma State's plan. Gut Its Athletics while keeping a $300 million budget nearly intact. I'm Lawrence Amaturo, and students don't just come for class. They come for the full college experience. Without sports, enrollment will drop and the university and our community will suffer. Don't let SSU take the heart of our campus life. I'm speaking up. Save our teams. Save our school.
If you have an opinion about this situation, we would like to hear it. Please call 707-284-9124 and tell us what you think.
The Inn at the Tides in Bodega Bay is thrilled to welcome you to the 36th annual Dinner with the Winemaker series at the elegant Bayview Restaurant. Join the fun Friday, April 11th for an unforgettable evening featuring Hartford Family Winery's owners Don and Jenny Hartford. Savor a spectacular four-course menu by Chef de Cuisine Rennie Madrid, each dish perfectly paired with world-class Hartford wines. Indulge in a trio of house-smoked fish crowned with caviar and herb sauce, perfectly paired with a crisp 2023 Hartford Court Chardonnay. Savor a tender filet of halibut bathed in truffle beurre blanc, complemented by a lush Four Hearts Chardonnay. Relish a succulent loin of domestic lamb with wild mushrooms and a pomegranate Pinot Noir glaze, matched with a Land's End Pinot Noir. And to finish, a Zinfandel poached pear with Point Reyes blue cheese and candied walnuts, complemented by Hartford's 2017 Zinfandel Port. Reserve your seat now at innatthetides.com and click on Winemaker Dinners before this unforgettable evening sells out.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
We are enjoying a real feast this morning as we anticipate National Empanada Day on Tuesday with Vinoma, V-I-N-O-M-A, classic Argentine empanadas and American originals that Chef Brian and his wife own in Rohnert Park, California. Just look for the big yellow Shell station, yeah, the gas station, and adjacent to that is Vinoma, correct? It's really as simple as that to find?
We're right at the front of the building. You can totally miss us. I'm
so
not going to lie.
So where did the name come from?
So the name is half of my son's name and half of my daughter's name. So my son's Vincent, my daughter's Paloma. And my company had a totally different name at first. It was Canastitas Argentinas, which it still is. But it's a mouthful to say, even for me. I still can't say it perfect. All my Argentine friends are laughing at me right now. But it came to a point where a friend of mine said, you know, you never want to have your business name the same as your product name, you know. So I said, okay. He's like, what else do you have? I said, well, I have half of each of my kids' names. And he said, that's great. Do it. Let's look for it. So
I love that idea.
A lot of people think it has to do with vino, you know.
Well, that's what I thought. I thought, I can't figure this out. Where did you get this? And thank you for honoring your kids by naming your business after them.
Yeah, it's they're there. They're helping. They're 14 and 10, and they both are beautiful kids and have different strengths and weaknesses, and my son seems to love taking orders.
The most beautiful dessert, most famous dessert of Argentina is alfajores, isn't it?
Yes.
And you make your own?
We make our own, and they are exactly how they're supposed to be.
What are they?
So it's a shortbread cookie, if you will. It's, in my opinion, it's super dry. And then there's a reason for that, and it's because the dulce de leche is so rich and creamy. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like if you ate each thing individually, except if you're a dulce de leche lover, you're eating it with a spoon, you know, they would be okay. But when they all come together and they're rolled in coconut, something magical happens, and they're absolutely
so. So what
delicious.
Is the one you just gave us?
So the one I just gave you is a spicy beef. It's
Is that one of the best?
What's interesting of that is that's probably what got me started. That was the one that
the gateway.
That was the gateway. From there on, I couldn't put them down. So that is just one of my favorite places near where my wife lived. This little space, you would never even know it was there. It's a hole in the wall like we are, and they're throwing them out the window to you. I loved it, and I just think of Argentina going, when am I going back next? When am I going back? I need more ice cream. I need more.
Is this one of the signature empanadas of Argentina?
Well, in Argentina, they're not eating as much spicy food. That's for sure. So that's kind of as spicy as they'll go. Mm-hmm. And that's probably maybe a little spicier. I had to up the spice a little bit for our customers. Mm-hmm. Pepper can be overpowering for Argentines.
Now, this is the right balance. It hits the sweet spot.
Yeah.
And the pastry is so flaky. I want to ask you the secrets of your pastry, but it's delicious.
Thank you. Yeah, I think, you know, empanada dough is different. A lot of people say, is it pie dough? Is it, you know, is this filo dough? And it's not. It's not laminated. It's not, you know, it's more simple, but
at
the same time.
And all I need is to top this off as a yerba mate.
Mm-hmm. What's right? that?
A yerba mate.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Have you tried mate before?
Oh, I certainly have.
Okay.
I worked with a gal from Venezuela for about 10 years, and she would drink this 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
She would bring her yerba mate in.
It's a very sacred kind of communal experience you have. You know, they're passing it around at the table. It's different. I love Argentina. The people there, they have their own challenges.
So do you ever close? What are your hours?
Yeah. So, okay. So we used to just do Thursday through Sunday. Mm-hmm. And when we first opened, we were 7 days, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. 2 weeks later, COVID hits. We're down to 4 days for a couple years. Back in November, we opened up to 7 days. So we're there 10:30 to 6. We'll probably open up a little later come summertime. It's balancing my family, my children, and the restaurant, which is a hard thing to do.
This is such a treat to be able to get quality food like this 2 minutes off the highway at Rohnert Park. It's really remarkable.
Well, especially that spot.
And that spot. Yeah. And the Shell station, the service station.
The thing that I love about empanadas is... you know, there's an expression in Argentina, and it's you can't make everybody happy. You're not an empanada, you know, because there's really a flavor.
Well, you're going to make someone happy right now as you give us your favorite number between 1 and 10.
Okay. Can I say this out loud?
Yes, please
okay.
do.
Okay. Now everyone knows it's going to be number 3.
Caller number 3 at 1-707-636-1350. Caller number 3 at 1-707-636-1350. We'll win a gift certificate to Vinoma. You must not have won anything on KSRO within the last 30 days. We want to give everybody a chance to win it. And we'll mail this gift certificate to the lucky winner. Brian, thank you so much.
Yeah, that was a pleasure.
These are delicious. It's wonderful to finally discover who you are.
Yeah. We're like the Willy Wonka chocolate factory, ever since COVID, we have closed doors and there's food flying out of the doors and no one knows what's happening. Mm. And it was never the intention, but it's what happened.
Well, to more success, you deserve it. Thanks so much for coming in today.
Appreciate it.
Back after this.
Thinking about selling your home? It's a big decision, but you don't have to navigate it alone. Contact Allison and Stephanie Norman, the Norman Home Team.
What's holding you back? A low mortgage rate? While rates may stay steady, your home's value has likely increased, meaning more equity to put toward your next move.
Not sure your house is ready to sell? Connect with us first, as local experts will help you focus on the right updates, increasing your ROI, saving you time, money, and effort.
Worried about finding your next home? There are multiple ways to make it happen. We'll find a solution that works for you.
When you have questions, we have answers. Let's chat. No obligation, just expert advice.
Selling Sonoma, Napa, Lake, Mendocino, and Northern Marin counties. Now more than ever, who you work with matters. Contact the Norman Home Team. Visit normanhometeamwinecountry.com to get started. The Norman Home Team at Keller Williams Realty. Because two heads are better than one. DRE license number 01720334 and 02209237.